This scripture is very easy, and I want you to repeat after me. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I ask that you would come. Let your spirit fall in this place as never before. Lord, I know that I'm a broken vessel, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Let the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I have a dear friend who shared with me that his mom and his aunt were upset with each other. And he said, I didn't want to get in the middle of it, so I just said, Mom, y'all work it out. You always do. His mother said, not this time. He said, well, Mom, take the high road. You know, you're a Christian, take the high road. I always take the high road, not this time. I said, well, Mom, you are a Christian. Let's pray together. I'm not wasting my prayer on her. Is there such a thing as wasted prayer? I don't know about you, but the prayers that my family have prayed for me have always been with me. Amen? How many of you pray the prayer over your children when they go out, are going out and are coming in? Anybody pray that prayer? Because you don't know where they're going to go. And it's not about being a good driver. Most of the time, it's about being a defensive driver. Amen? When I was in college, my wife now, but my girlfriend then, and my best friend from South Africa, Archie, and we had an exchange student with us. Her name was Nadia, and she was a Russian exchange student. We decided for spring break, we would travel from New Jersey, St. Peter's College, and come all the way down here to Busch Gardens. And so that's what we did. We made it in about midnight, got a hotel, got some rest. When the park opened, we were right there. And man, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the park. Anybody ever done that before? It's pretty expensive too, isn't it? And we closed the park down. I mean, I went on rides, and I don't even like roller coasters, but you know what they do to you when you're in the military. Oh, the big bad Marine don't want to ride. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I rode those things that banged my head all around. And they really kicked us out of the park. We stayed until the park closed. And so we had to make a decision about what we were going to do. And so we decided if we took turns driving back, we can make the 8.5 or 9 hour trip with no problem by sharing the driving. It sounded like a good idea at the time. But we made it to about Baltimore. And we went off the road going 65 miles an hour down into an embankment. We hit the first tree, and the passenger door came off. It cut me on the leg. And then we hit the second tree, and we were kind of up on the tree like this. And the impact, you could imagine going 65 miles an hour. I heard my wife screaming. My eyes were closed. I couldn't open them. I was unresponsive, but I could hear. The two people in the back seat, Archie and Nadia, were knocked unconscious from the impact. The roof of the car was at a point. You can imagine the front was all squished. And I said, Lord, don't let me die like this. You put all of these things in my heart to do. Give me an opportunity to do them. Lord, I love you. I don't want to die like this. I want to do what you've put in my heart. And at that moment, I opened my eyes and I felt this pain in my shoulder. I thought my shoulder was dislocated. The car was still on and it was smoking at the same time. Natalia was on the side of the road trying to flag cars down in the middle of the night, and you can imagine how dangerous that was. So I went and I grabbed her by the back of her shirt and I asked her to sit down in the grass. I went back for my buddy, I only had one arm, and I drug him out of the car. He was still unconscious. By the time I went back for Nadia, there was an off-duty paramedic that seen us go down into the embankment, and he came to our aid. They took all of us to Johns Hopkins Hospital. And my buddy had a lot of glass in his face, but his forehead was swollen from the impact. So they put a bandage around, and there was blood all over his face, all over his clothes. I had it felt like a dislocated shoulder, so I was in an arm sling, and this big gash on my side of my leg. My wife, same thing, because of the seatbelt pulled her back, she was in a sling. And the girl that was in the back, Nadia, had her legs crossed when the impact happened, and so it swelled her calf up and the rest of her legs. She was on crutches. But we had minor injuries compared to the accident. But I do remember the paramedic said, "Who was in the passenger seat?" And I said, "I was." And he said, "No, you can't be. Who was in the passenger seat?" I said, "I was." He said, "You shouldn't be alive." We still had to get home. So we had to rent another car to go home. So you can imagine, I'm in a sling, my buddy's wrist, he's got this bandage on his head, there's blood all over each and every one of us. And we walk up to the counter, and my buddy puts his gold card down and says, I'd like to rent a vehicle. They said, "No problem." And rented us a vehicle. Talk about customer service. And we drove home. I shared that story with you because as I was thinking about the scripture, it says to rejoice always. My friends, I give thanks to God, because if it had not been for the mercy of God, I wouldn't be here today. If it had not been for the mercy of God, there'd be no marriage between Derek and Natalia. If it had not been for the kindness of God, there'd be no Joshua, and I wouldn't be standing before you as the pastor of this church. I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. You know, it's good to be grateful, amen?
Amen.
Sometimes there's so many of us, we see the glass as half full. I see my glass overflowing because of the unmerited blessings of God. Rejoice always. As I was looking at this, there is no such word in the New Testament when you look in the original language for happy. It's joy, it's rejoice, and it's encouragement. But there's no word for happy. God is not here to make us happy, amen?
Amen.
God is here to make us holy. I didn't get any amens on that. Joshua, can I get an amen? All right, I got an amen over there. All right. Oh, it catches on like fire. But to rejoice always. And I think that the scripture is alluding to the fact, or the Apostle Paul is alluding to the fact, that as Christians, we really don't have a right to walk around mean and ugly and cantankerous, because we have the blessings of God. Amen? That God is with us, that this awesome God loves us and he promised to be with us even until the ends of the age. And that should cause us to break forth in doxology, to give God praise for who he is in our lives. We don't have a right to walk around upset. And for those of us who don't have joy, I pray for you today. And I want you to pray for yourself that God might have your joy to come back and return, full and complete, so that you would know this love that I'm talking about. You would know how much he loves you. And if you knew how much he loved you and really got a hold of that he loves you, period, there's no comma, he loves you, period, you can't do anything about it, he loves you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. You would break forth in doxology. And then it says to pray without ceasing. I think if we pray more, we would have more joy. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean that you're on your knees 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean that you're in the posture of prayer for 24 hours. But what it does mean is to have an attitude of prayer. Amen. You know, some of us, we're so busy, we don't have time for God, but you take coffee breaks, you could take a prayer break. Hello. When you take your walks, you can reflect upon the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. You can write your prayers down and come back to it, and somebody is complaining and sharing something with you, you can write it down and pray about it. When you read the newspaper, there's a whole lot to pray about. Amen? And so it's having an attitude of prayer, that we're going to pray daily. We're going to pray regularly. And that's what it means. And then it says to give thanks in every circumstance, in the good times, and in the times when we are challenged. Can we give God thanks? We ought to be able to give God thanks because he promised to be with us. We're never alone. You're never alone. Isn't that the good news? Amen. That we are never alone. That God is always watching. He sees and he cares. My friends, as I was looking at this scripture, I started thinking about the attributes of God. That God is a loving God, that God is a faithful God, that God cares, that God is omnipresent. He can be in every place. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is all-knowing, all-loving. He's sovereign. He's righteous. He's holy. We can go on, amen? But the one that means so much to me is he cares about me. He cares about me, and he cares about you. Everything that goes on in your life, God cares about. He just doesn't care about this 1 hour in church on Sunday. He cares about every aspect of our lives. But the question is, will we give all of our life to him? Will we let him into every room of our heart? You know, it's kind of like the living room. That's the room that's probably most tidy in our houses, right? And so we say, come on, Jesus, you can come into the living room. Come on, have a seat. And Jesus says, but what's that room over there? No, wait a minute, Jesus. He wants to go into the attic where we store stuff. He wants to go into the basement of our hearts where we collect stuff, garbage. Amen? He wants to redeem every aspect of our lives. He loves us. The opposite of joy is complaining. And some of us, we are good at that. Some of us have PhDs in complaining. I think it was Dr. Mays who said, that he thought that we complained because we had troubles in our lives. And he realized that we have troubles in our lives because we complain. What can complaining do for you? Will it add one thing to your life? But what happens is when we are so negative, we draw negative things to us. Amen? And when we are positive, we draw those positive things to us. And sometimes when we're going through something and life is not good at the moment for us, we want to complain, but be careful. You might draw the very thing that you don't want into your life. Be careful, because you might give the enemy a foothold to really bring havoc into your life. Is the glass half full or half empty? And you know how I can tell in my own life? It's when I'm living a life of gratitude. When I'm living a life of gratitude. Anybody know anybody that's good at complaining? Anybody? And they never see anything good, but they'll find the one thing. I want you to repeat after me. Rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Give thanks for everything. In every circumstance.
In every circumstance.
For this is the will of God.
For this is the will of God.
For you.
For you.
You see, this wasn't talking about what is your purpose. This is talking about what the will of God is for each and every one of us. Is to be grateful. To be thankful. To let God fill your heart with love and peace and joy. Peace is not the absence of tension. Peace is the presence of God. Amen?
Amen?
Struggle is a part of life. I said to somebody, I said, how many of you want to get rid of your stress? And every hand went up. And I said, is it possible to live in this world without stress? The only way to do that is to die. Stress is a part of life. We got to get used to that. Amen? But it means that we could still praise him and we can still give him thanks in the good times, in the times when we're challenged, to know that he loves us. My friends, maybe you're carrying a burden today that you need not carry. Maybe the burden that you have today is overwhelming. It's too much for you. On the front of your bulletin is a little sticky. And I want you to get real today. And I want you to write down what your prayer is. And listen, my friends, here's what I don't want you to do. When you come up today, I don't want your name on this. God knows who you are. You're just going to place it on the cross. Margaret is going to play some music for us. But this is what I don't want you to do. I'm just going to demonstrate it for you. We say, oh, Lord, take my burden. Father, I give you my burden. I leave it there. Thank you, Lord. And we pick it right back up. That same thing that you give to God, don't pick it up. It's not yours to carry anymore. Write it down, the heavy load, whatever it is, your heart's prayer, write it down. Margaret's going to play some music for us. And just come as you feel led and place it at the cross. And then we're going to pray. Margaret.